So, welcome to episode 226. John, I know you and I have a lot to talk about. Today's episode is packed with a lot concerning Alaska Airlines and a little news from Delta. So, this is actually our third time trying to record this. Hopefully today will work out just fine and we won't get cut off. I now have the iPhone 14 Pro, so hopefully that will make things a little bit better now that I'm not using the 12 mini, my older phone. So, John, are you ready to get this episode going?
Yes, I am.
All right. So, Alaska Airlines came out actually today, last week, with some news that we didn't expect to see. And that is Alaska Airlines is, the Alaska Airlines Group is acquiring Hawaiian Airlines for $1.9 billion. And Hawaiian Airlines will be joining the Alaska Air Group. And it will then become part of the One World Alliance. And it will join part of the Alaska Airlines Group where Horizon Air is. And so this will be quite, you know, interesting. And the deal is reported to be $1.9 billion. That's how much it's said to be worth. And it will include around $900 million of Hawaiian Airlines debt. And so, as per presentation to investors, Alaska Air Group bringing Hawaiian Airlines into the fold means that means only a 3% overlap, but a 3-time increase in unique destinations and to and from Hawaii to 87, beating United and dwarfing Delta Airlines plus Southwest Airlines and American Airlines. Ben, I can't pronounce his last name. He is the CEO of Alaska Airlines. Commented on the deal. The combination is an exciting next step in our collective journey to provide a better travel experience for our guests and expand options for the West Coast and Hawaii travelers. And you know, John, what's really interesting is Alaska just retired all the Airbus aircraft that they had acquired through their purchase of Virgin America. And they just finally got rid of the last A321neos. And John, here they are again with, they're going to have Airbuses in their fleet, even though they're going to be operated and underneath the Hawaiian brand. And it's, what do you think about that?
I think it's going to work out better for them because it's not going to be under the Alaska branding. The A321neos that they retired was under the Alaska branding and didn't really fit their operations, where these Airbus aircraft will be flown under the Hawaiian branding. So I think it'll work out better for them in the long run.
Yeah. And what'll be unique is that, like I said, they'll be returning to operate Airbuses in the form of the A330 and the A321. And Boeing 787s of Hawaiian will also join the Alaska Air Group to bring the fleet to 365 aircraft across three airlines, Alaska, Horizon, and Hawaiian Airlines. Together, 2 million more premium seats will be in the new Alaska Air Group, both first class and business seating with extra legroom. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but the Boeing 717s that, and we're going to talk about this next, but anyways, I just wanted to kind of talk about their 717s. Those are original 717s. Those have been with the airline for a long time, and they are long past due their retirement date, but they are kept in flying condition, and they're going to soon need to find a new aircraft to replace those aircraft. And John, would you be surprised if Alaska Air Group decides to retire those 717s to replace that with the Easywind 75, just like what Horizon has?
Well, there was reports that the 717s were getting retired. I don't see them adding the E175s. I could see more of them maybe adding a MAX or something like that. Or maybe the E175 E2.
Yeah. Well, like the MAX is your typical narrow body aircraft, and they're going to want to replace a regional aircraft with a regional aircraft. The 717 at least isn't a mainline aircraft. It's more of a short route aircraft for doing regional operations. So the transaction will connect will connect Hawaiian Airlines loyalty members with enhanced benefits through an industry-leading loyalty program for the combined airline and the ability to earn and redeem miles on 29 global partners and receive elite benefits on full complement of one of the Alliance Airlines expanded global lounge access and benefits of the combined program's co-brand credit card. Additionally, for Hawaiian Airlines employees, Honolulu will become an Alaska Air Group hub. In a fact sheet posted at localcareglobalreach.com, the executives pledge to maintain and grow union represented jobs in Hawaii, including preserving pilot, flight attendant, and maintenance bases in Honolulu and airport operations and cargo throughout the state. Meaning that Hawaiian airline pilots are still going to be able to fly for Hawaiian. Flight attendants will be able to fly. And nothing's going to happen. Employment for the current employees. And finally, on December 3rd, Ingram, Hawaiian Airlines president and CEO shared, since 1929, Hawaiian Airlines has been in integral part of life in Hawaii, and together with Alaska Airlines, we will be able to deliver more to for our guests, employees, the communities that we serve. In Alaska Airlines, we are joining an airline that has long served Hawaii and has a complementary network and a shared culture of service, with the additional scale of resources that this transaction with Alaska Airlines brings. We will be able to accelerate investments in our guest experience and technology. While maintaining the Hawaiian Airlines brand, together Hawaiian Airlines and Alaska Airlines can bring our authentic brands of hospitality to more of the world while continuing to serve our valued local communities. So the transaction is likely to take up 12 to 18 months to firm up, but Alaska believes it will have no long-term impact on its balance sheet. The airline group anticipates single-digit earning in the first 2 years. The transaction has been approved by both boards, but still must pass regulatory approvals before it becomes firm. So we'll definitely be keeping our eyes open to see what happens there, and I wouldn't be surprised if this, you know, gets approved. And like I mentioned, I'm going to talk about what the future of the Boeing 717 in Hawaiian's fleet Air's acquisition. So with no direct replacement for the Boeing 717, you know, people are wondering, what will the new owners, Alaska Air Group, pick for the regional flights? And on December 3rd, Alaska Airlines and Hawaiian Airlines announced intention to bring Hawaiian, as we mentioned, and I'm not going to go through that. A special focus was placed on Boeing 717, which provides inter-island service and makes up 20% of Hawaiian Airlines' current network. The Boeing 717 was a product of turning the McDonnell Douglas MD-95 into a member of the Boeing line after the firm bought McDonnell Douglas in August of 1997. The Boeing 717 was more than just a rebrand. It was an aircraft intended to keep the DC-9 relevant with the U.S. airline deregulation as a smaller, somewhat more efficient aircraft. So, John, this is another reason why I was saying that the E-175 would probably be a direct replacement. However, as we're reading here, the fact the Boeing 717 per seat mile cost was comparable to the 737-800 helped keep the Boeing 717 fleet small at 156 aircraft. And Hawaiian Airlines operated the Boeing 717 as inter-island airliners that are airplanes have two class seating with 120 economy seats and first class seats. And, I mean, who knows? They could replace the aircraft with the MAX 8 or even the MAX 7. I want to hear your thoughts on that. What aircraft do you feel like would be, if it was a Boeing aircraft, what do you feel like would be a good direct replacement?
I would say the MAX 7. And I say that because United uses their 737-700 for the island hopping and stuff like that. So being that they use the 700, I could see them using the MAX 7, which right. is the smallest variant of the MAX family.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that happening, and that would not surprise me one little bit at all.
Right, especially since Alaska uses it for a lot of their flights within Alaska, well, territories of Alaska, of the state of Alaska. That aircraft is a very efficient. It's a great aircraft for, you know, short to mid-range short flights. And we'll just, you know, see what happens as far as the Boeing 717 and see what Alaska Airlines Group decides to do, you know, with the aircraft. As, you know, as we're reading here, these aircraft definitely need to be retired soon. So checking the CH Aviation database, Hawaiian Airlines operates 19 Boeing 717s, five of which are leased. Hawaiian Airlines fleet of Boeing 717s has a collective value of $53.73 million and an average age of 21.9 years. Alaska Airlines CEO Ben said, as to fleet decisions, the 717 could go to the end of the decade. But I think, look, we're going to take a good look at the 717 and the Airbus A321. We'll take a look at the fleets and just make the right decision for the company's long term. Clearly, this with regulatory approval proceedings ahead and labor contracts and negotiation decisions about fleets are nowhere near being ready to be made, which that makes sense, right, John? They're not focused on, they're more focused on getting the airline, you know, taken over by Alaska Airlines groups, and that way, you know, they can move on. Then after that, they can focus on, you know, the fleets themselves.
Yes, one step at a time.
Right. So, single fleet strategy versus the Hawaiian Airlines fleet. We know how Alaska Airlines is. They wanted to get more slots. They wanted to get more, you know, they want to get better routes. That's, you know, one of the reasons why they even bought Virgin America. However, so we're going to look at the single fleet strategy versus the Hawaiian Airlines fleet, as I mentioned. Earlier this year, Nathaniel Piper, Senior Vice President of Fleet Finance and Alliance at Alaska Airlines, a subsidiary of Alaska Air Group, kindly shared his thoughts on Alaska Airlines' single fleet efforts. We're focusing on a single fleet because it enables us to run the best operations for our guests. It enables us to generate extraordinary financial results, which is good for our shareholders, and our crews love the Boeing airplanes we buy. Ultimately, if a company can be super responsive and please their teammates, employees, their guests, and their shareholders, there's a winning hand for Alaska. Single fleet is the path for that, and I agree. And I know, John, you and I have on my Facebook talking about, you know, them getting rid of the A321neo Alaska, and, you know, people just not realizing that it's cheaper to, you know, run a fleet that is just a single fleet. And, you know, as they said, it generates extraordinary financial results. And whereas you're having two, you know, you have quite a few different aircraft in your fleet, it requires different parts for an Airbus because it'll be different from a Boeing and all that kind of stuff. And you can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Well, what you got to take into consideration is that for some airlines, it's easier to run a mainstream fleet, which is what Alaska is doing, by, you know, running just all Boeing. Southwest does the same thing. But for other airlines, and maybe it's the bigger ones, where they're able to run different types of aircraft, and it just works for their operations. You got to look at Delta and how they run multiple types of aircraft. They run the A321, they run the A350, they run the 737s, and it just works good for their fleet, their operations. Where, you know, some airlines, it's just better to mainstream their aircraft and run one type.
Right. So again, reviewing the CH Aviation database, Hawaiian Airlines operates a total of 62 aircraft across 4 different aircraft types, with 9 Boeing 787-9 Dreamliners on order. So aircraft that Hawaiian Airlines operates and that are on order. So they currently operate 18 A321 NEOs, which they own 14. They operate 18, they own 14 and lease 4. So 4 of them are leased to the airline. The Airbus A330-200, they operate a total of 24 aircraft for the A330, and that's the 200. And they own 12 and they lease 12. For the Airbus A330-300 P2F, which is the freighter, they operate 1, own 0, and lease 1. So for the Boeing 717-200, they operate 19, own 14, and lease 5. And for the Boeing 787-9 Dreamliner, they do not have 9. However, they do have on order 9 aircraft of the type. So, this does not include the Amazon air freighters that Hawaiian Air operates. Getting down to a single fleet or at least 2 aircraft types could become Senior Vice President Piper's next big challenge. So, what could replace the Boeing 717? And you guys are going to call John and I geniuses, because we're going to get to what they have put in this article, what they believe, and, you know, what actually the senior vice president thinks would be the good replacement for the 717. So, among this is above, the answer to that, to what could replace the Boeing 717 is seemingly clear. First, the Boeing 737 MAX 7. And there we go, John. Wow, it feels good to, you know, get something right. Anyway, or at least replace the Boeing 717. However, the 737 MAX 7 is not yet FAA certified for flight, aiming for certification in 2024, and there is a substantial backlog of orders for the model. The Boeing 737 MAX 7 can carry, on average, between 138 and 153 passengers. Alternatively, the Airbus A220-300 is another possibility, with 130 seats in a 3-class configuration. The A220-100 offers only 109 seats in a 3-class configuration. Qantas is using the A220 to replace the 717. Alaska Air Group rival Delta Airlines operates the Airbus A220, and the aircraft's existence is a point of contention with Boeing, with which Alaska Air Group's subsidiary, Alaska Airlines, has gone 100% with again. So the E195-E2 is the favorite to replace the Boeing 717. However, Alaska Air Group could direct Hawaiian Airlines to invest in the Embraer E-185E2 with at least some commonality with the Alaska Air Group's Horizon Air E175s that can seat 120 in 3 classes, just slightly less than the Boeing 717-200, and 128 in a 2-class configuration. The E-195E2's 2,655 nautical mile range is also significantly more than that of the 717, which has a 2,060 nautical mile range. So, considering Alaska Air Group's efforts to increase premium class, a mid-level seating class with more pitch and additional amenities like early boardings plus deboarding the Boeing 717's 200s. Two-class seating post-acquisition may not last long. Additionally, the E195E2 offers the latest in avionics and builds on the relationship Alaska Air Group already has with Embraer. So, John, if Alaska Air Group's decided to get this aircraft, the E195E2, as a direct replacement for the Boeing 717, that would be the first and the only U.S. carrier to operate the type. Everybody operates the E1. Well, there is the E190 that JetBlue has, and it's the E175 that everybody else in the U.S. operates. So that would, you know, they already, like they said, you know, here, Alaska Airlines already has a direct partner, I mean, relationship with Embraer, and they also have a direct, you know, of course, they have a direct relationship with Boeing. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, the E-175E2 is a good aircraft. Porter Airlines uses it. You know, they're out of Canada, but they use it right for their flights to, you know, the U.S., and they have it in a two-class configuration for comfort where you don't have the middle seat. You just have a window seat and an aisle seat. It's a lot more comfortable. So, yeah, I can see them going with that. But right. I do know that Porter does – that's about all they fly, I think.
Yeah.
They also they fly a lot of the E-175
yeah.
E2s, though.
You mean the E-195E2?
Yes, the 195 yeah. E2.
And they also operate the Q400. And, you know, from a passenger's perspective, I've flown the E175 quite a few times. And it is a very, very comfortable aircraft. No complaints there. It's, you know, it's a nice little regional jet. And so, presuming the Alaska Air Group acquisition of Hawaiian Airlines is approved, difficult decisions will have to be made about the future of Hawaiian Airlines fleet. The Hawaiian Airlines fleet average age of 10.7 years with leases included in a few concluded in a few years versus Virgin America's 86% leased aircraft with long-term leases outstanding at the time of Alaska Air Group's acquisition will make this easier. So could the Embraer E-185E2 be the favorite replacement for the Boeing 717? We would love to know what your thoughts are on that. You can go on Instagram and send us a message. Our Instagram is taking_flight_podcast, and we look forward to listening from you, hearing from you guys. So far, nobody has reached out, and we would love to hear from you guys. So, Delta came out with something, with some news that we did not expect, and this is going to have direct competition with EVA Air, as Delta Airlines is going to a daily flight that will be starting on June 6th from Seattle to Taipei. And this will be operated by their infamous Delta A330neo, 900neo. And John, I know you and I want the A350 extremely bad. And all they keep giving us is the A330. So we're going to have to twist some arms here and try to get the A350 in Seattle with Delta. So it will be the first time that flights are on sale. And it'll be the first Delta service to Taiwan since 2017 when it operated via Tokyo Narita. So this will be the first direct route via a U.S. airline Delta from the U.S. to Taipei. So who knows, John? Maybe you and I could book a flight and we could go to Taipei and experience the culture over there. What were your thoughts when you, or what was your response to hearing this news?
I was excited about it. It's great to see that, you know, they're doing some route expansions. into Taipei. And like you said, it is going to directly go right with EVA Air, who does 10 daily flights out of Seattle and have been doing them for a number of years.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure when EVA Air started flying into Seattle, but I know that they've been doing it for quite some time now. And twice they've tried to do two flights. EVA Air's tried to ramp up two flights out of Seattle, one being a daily, one being three times a week. Also, Delta has a history with Seattle. They started flying out of Seattle in 1980 to three different locations, Phoenix, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Atlanta. And now they have 160 flights a day to 50 different countries from Seattle. So,
yeah,
it's good to see how they've grown in Seattle.
Yeah. So there was a little incident that happened just not too long ago. In fact, I'll try to find when it happened. But there was a Gol Airlines 737, and it sunk into the taxiway at Sao Paulo Congonhas Airport, and the aircraft had to be towed out of the dent in the pavement. The aircraft was a 737-800, and this happened on Friday. It comes as three other incidents involving aircraft gear at the airport have occurred in the last 2 months. No one was injured, but the passengers on board had to deplane via stairs onto the taxiway where the airplane was stuck. Now, John, this is not good. The plane is supposed to stay above the pavement. The pavement's supposed to, you know, endure the weight of the aircraft. And this is not an everyday thing. You know, and the aircraft is a 14-year-old aircraft registered Papa Romeo Dash Golf Romeo, and the flight was Golf Lima Oscar 1490. So you can look that up on Flight Radar 24. Pictures on social media show the aircraft's left main gear lodged into the pavement on taxiway E as passengers disembarked. So that is, that's not great. That is not normal. So hopefully they can get that all situated out where that will not happen again, and we won't be having to share another story like this with you ever again. But
well, you know, I'm gonna say something about that. I did see the pictures of that when I woke up this evening. But from experience and watching some air crash investigations and reading different reports, I don't know what kind of maintenance they have at that airport, but that airport is one of the worst airports to land at.
Right.
They've had a number, and I'm talking a number of incidents that have happened, including Gol Flight 3501, which, you know, landed on the runway and the water was puddling on the runway because they had did the maintenance wasn't done correctly.
Right.
Which the flight did not land safely. It ended in tragedy. But yes, that airport has had a number of incidents. I don't understand what kind of maintenance they have going on there. There's a lot of pilots that don't like to land at that airport. Also, you got to see how it's situated too. It's got one runway. No, it's got two runways, but the main runway is 35 left. And if you don't stop in time, you go over the embankment and into the city. So, you know, there's really no margin for error at that airport. Right.
So, John, I have a question for you. Would you want to ever fly on an Airbus A380 operated by Singapore Airlines?
I would love to.
Well, I think that you have a better chance. As the A380 is making a comeback with Singapore Airlines and is a delight to many A380 enthusiasts, as Singapore Airlines has announced that they have successfully returned all of its A380 aircraft to service. Signaling the recovery of air travel demand in Southeast Asia. So go book your flights. Get on an A380 operated by and owned by Singapore Airlines. And I know I'd love to fly on A380 just to say I've done it. And I mean, I love aviation, obviously. So it's a bucket list item. It's just if I can, you know, if I will have ever have the money and have the chance to do it. There's a lot of plan that goes into international travel. So I just wanted to ask you before we close out today's episode, John, if you have anything you were wanting to cover, and if not, we'll call it an episode.
I'll talk a little bit about ITA and them discontinuing their route between Milan, Italy, and JFK, not seeing a real profit coming out of that route, being that there's already five different airlines, established airlines, that actually fly that route, including right. Emirates, which puts the A380 on that route and has more seats than any other airline on that route.
Yeah,
and then you got American and Delta. And I forgot what other airlines, but you got those three right there that fly that route and have been flying it for some time. So ITA is just going to cut their losses and cut the Rome to JFK. The last flight will be flown January 17th, and then it'll be discontinued. To say that. That Lufthansa has taken ITA and put them into their group. So ITA is part of Lufthansa.
Yeah. And something I wanted to cover real quick is that, and I'm not going to be able to go into every single detail, but the JetBlue Spirit merger has been, I guess it's been approved as long as American can agree to do a few things, and we'll cover that in a later episode. So this has been episode 226. We want to thank you for listening and tuning in to today's episode. Till next time, fly safe.